Good morning. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
As we remain standing, let us say together the opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in Revelations, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing." And so our first hymn is, "Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us." What do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. But we confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." St. John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." The Bible says, "Therefore we can have peace with God." And therefore, as the body of Christ, we're able to say, "We are the body of Christ.
His spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you."
And if you feel capable and want to, in this COVID world, you can share that peace with each other.
God's peace be with you.
And so we continue. In that knowledge, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High." We join together in the prayer of humble access.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies.
We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him,
and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he instituted, and commands us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Amen.
All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. And the small cups contain both wine and grape juice. The grape juice is in the smaller light-coloured tray and the wine is in the darker tray. The bread is gluten-free, and you may stand or kneel at the table for communion. And families, we encourage to come together.
Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body, and of each other in him. Remember your church which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen. Now, our prayers.
The Collect for the Second Ordinary Sunday. Let us pray for grace to be true to our calling. Almighty God, by whose grace alone we are accepted and called to your service, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit and make us worthy of our calling through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Continuing in prayer, the response after each prayer is the usual, hear our prayer, but the bit is different for each one. God, for whom we long and from whom we turn away, hear the prayers we bring for your people. Hear us and answer us, we pray.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the preservation of the earth, for reverence and respect for its diverse ecosystems, for places where waters are polluted, reefs exploited and forests cut down. Cast out our demons of destruction and greed and reclothe us in your spirit, that we may learn to live in harmony with your creation, Father. God, our healer,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your worldwide church, for those in peril of persecution for their faith, for those whose faith is in danger from lethargy and neglect. When we are overwhelmed by unbelief or guilt, when we cry to you and you do not seem to hear, calm our terrors and still our souls, that we may know your presence and your power. God, our deliverer,
hear our prayer.
Loving and merciful God, you are filled with compassion for your people and our troubles. You hear our cries. We pray for all in need, for all who are lonely or sad, for those in grief or despair, for the sick and the dying, and for all who care for them. We pray for courage in our own troubles, for compassion and generosity, that we may respond to the needs of others. We especially remember the senseless war in Ukraine and all the needless injuries and deaths caused to the innocent people of that country. May they receive the message of your salvation to bring them comfort and hope. We pray for your mercy for the people of Afghanistan, where an earthquake has killed over 1,000 people and injured many. May they also receive the message of your salvation, giving them strength and hope. Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of love, we pray for Eric and Christine and those who support them as they minister to the St. Giles family so lovingly. Keep them in good health as they continue to teach and guide us. We give you thanks for the wide range of people who give them this loving support. Father, we pray for the life and mission of the Church, for those from whom we are divided by tradition or doctrine, for those who do not know your word or follow your way. We pray for Julie Holmes and her future in the mission field, that she will be fulfilled in carrying out the wonderful work for which she has been trained and which she longs to embrace. Keep her safe and in good health. Bring the comfort of joy in Julie's work to Sue and Murray as they farewell their precious daughter this week. We pray for those in our St. Giles family who have requested our prayers. For Margaret Roberts, Margaret and Vernon Ireland, Graham Lowther, Murray Holmes, Fleur Fowler and Robin Allen. Surround them with your amazing love, Father. Loving God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We'll finish with the Anglicare prayer. Almighty God, giver of light and life, send your salvation through all the world. Keep us mindful of the needs of others and help us to be wise stewards of all you have entrusted to us. Bless Anglicare and all who serve us in its fellowship. May there always be a glad and prayerful response to appeals made for the work. Guide us to those who need our help, and grant us the power of your Holy Spirit to always love and serve you, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Dog is back. The spot where we can do whatever we like. And I would have liked to have brought Julie and Murray and Sue up the front, but I'm not going to do that because she asked not to. So, keeping to her wishes, I will not ask her to come out the front. Murray, Sue and Julie, would you like to stand in the aisle? And this happened at the commissioning service yesterday for Julie, and it was so well received and so well thought of by those who saw it happen and wished they could have been there, that they asked representatives from the churches to come out. So I had the privilege of being there and laying hands on Julie and encouraging her. But they would have liked to have done it as well. And so we're going to give all of you the opportunity to either come out in the aisle, surround them with your love and prayers, lay hands on them if you want, or on the shoulder of the one who's laying hands on them. It'll pass through to them. So would you like to stand and just surround Murray and Sue in the aisle there and go down? And we'll pray for them where they stand, not out the front.
When you've regained possession of your breath, we'll stand and sing, I heard the voice of Jesus say.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep, Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep at their hand, and I will put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, so that they may not be food for them. The second reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come to me and before me are thieves and bandits." But the sheep did not listen to them. "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That's right. Morning, everyone. Who said I am the greatest? No, I'm not talking about me being the greatest. I'm not trying to find blame for someone to who said that. Who said it? Muhammad Ali. Cassius Clay. Whichever way you'd like to go. When he said that, he knew what he was saying. He really did think he was the greatest. Who said I'm the walrus? John Lennon. I'm the walrus. He was apparently, when he said that, he was apparently unaware that the walrus was the bad guy in Lewis Carroll's 1871 poem, The Walrus and the Carpenter. Had no idea what he was saying. We're in a sermon series that looks at all the I am statements of Jesus. We've heard that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and "I am the light of the world." And these are simple statements of sublime significance. But we might wonder what Jesus was thinking when he said, "I am the door." Sounds like a very strange thing, almost as weird as "I'm the walrus." What does Jesus mean by it? And how can it help us in our Christian lives? Well, before we try to answer those questions, let's ask God, as we always do, to guide us and teach us.
Supposed to be a black screen there. We'll just leave that one on.
We pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we might see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, rather than saying, "I am the door," shouldn't Jesus have said, "I am the key"? For as the hymn we sing says, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Wouldn't it be better for him to have said, "I am the key"? Yet Jesus prefers to describe himself as the door, or the better translation that we have is the gate. Now, to understand the significance of this word gate, we need to know a little background about shepherds and shepherding. Shepherding is very different to farming. Shepherds would fight off predators and lead their flocks to green pastures and still waters. They would guard, guide, and give their sheep whatever they needed to survive. They'd protect and provide. I only said that because I like alliteration and I like to repeat things. They protect and provide. I also said that because that's similar to the Los Angeles Police Department motto, which is protect and serve. A shepherd would look after around about 100 sheep, just a small enough group for them to be able to remember their names. And the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd and they would follow that particular shepherd. Yet these shepherds would not travel by themselves. They would travel in groups with their sheep. Just like that Christmas story where they were watching their flocks. Several shepherds, several flocks, but together at night. At night, they would find or make some kind of enclosure. It could be a small cave or a valley. It wouldn't be a small cave, there's hundreds of sheep. A bit of a valley or something like that somewhere, or they create an enclosure out of branches. Several shepherds might share the same enclosure. And the shepherds might take turns then in guarding the sheep during the night by laying down in the entrance to that enclosure, and therefore they became the gate. They would determine who and what came into and went out from the sheepfold. The next day, each shepherd would then call his sheep, and because they knew his voice, they would follow him. So it could be 10 shepherds, 1,000 sheep, and each one would call out their 100, and only those sheep would follow the shepherd out. They had responsibilities that way. The shepherd on duty as the gatekeeper would determine who could have access to all the sheep. He would identify the other genuine shepherds. It is in this context that Jesus says, "I am the gate." Let's look at the context that John provides in his gospel for us. The when, the who, the where, and the why. When is all this happening? Well, if we go back to John chapter 10, verse 22, we see it's all happening around the time of what we now call Hanukkah. The feast of dedication. And I'm sure you know what that's all about, don't you? No, well, okay. To understand that, we need to read the book of Maccabees, which we'll begin right now. No, we won't do that. Let me summarize it for you. A Greek king comes and desecrates the city of Jerusalem. The Jews live under oppression until a rebellion where they take back Jerusalem. The festival of Hanukkah then celebrates the rededication of the temple. End of story. In the liturgy of that celebration, they read from Ezekiel, the passage we had read this morning. So the people in the crowd who were listening to Jesus were very familiar with this passage that we just heard because they heard it every year during Hanukkah. And what does it say? Let me remind you. It begins with that, in our version, the word "ah," which sounds a bit weak. The old version was "woe to you," which sounds a lot stronger. So when we read the word "ah," we should read it in the way that the dog has just messed on the carpet and you, "woe to you, O dog." "Ah!" That's the way it's meant to be said. "Ah, you shepherds. You shepherds of Israel, you've been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings. You do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them." The shepherds are recognized as the leaders of God's people. Now, this passage from Ezekiel then could be applied to any time in Israel's history, as well as any time in the history of the church, including today. But the leaders of God's people, when Jesus was speaking, were the Pharisees. This is the who. In the previous chapter, a man born blind is healed by Jesus. But the Pharisees step in and threaten to cast out this man, his parents, or anyone who confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. So John is saying it's the Pharisees who are blind. And just in case we missed the point, he says they can't, well, They can't see Jesus. And he says in John 9:29, this is from the Pharisee's mouth, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from. Blind as bats." These Pharisees would never consider themselves to be spiritually blind. They would never admit that. Yet Jesus confirms that they are. In John 9:40, some of the Pharisees near him said this, heard him say this, and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The introduction of a chapter division at this point interrupts that conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, which I believe flows into chapter 10. So when we read our Bibles, we just go to a chapter and start reading, not realizing what the conversation was before. This whole gate metaphor is aimed at the Pharisees. I believe it was the hardness of their hearts that kept them from understanding what Jesus said about being the gate. John 10:6, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. But they weren't the only ones who were confused. By verse 19, the crowds are again divided because of the words of Jesus, as we saw about the light, and about the bread of life, sorry. In this passage, the sheep are God's people, the shepherds are the leaders of God's people, and how you use the gate determines who you are. If you use it, you're a good guy. If you don't use it, you're a bad guy. I said earlier that the gatekeeper would determine who were the genuine shepherds and who were the threats. And that's why Jesus says in John 10:1, "Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." So you see, Jesus is the shepherd who is on gate duty. So this is the famous, John 10 is the famous passage about the good shepherd, which we will get onto in another sermon. But this is part of him being that shepherd. Part of his role is a shepherd who is being the gate. If the other shepherds won't come through Jesus as the gate, they are thieves and robbers. And that statement is as true today of our church leaders as it was back then. Where is all this happening? Well, probably near the sheep gate in Jerusalem. And that's not just because I'd like it to be true. Why would we think this is the case? Because Jesus put mud on that blind man's eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is understood to be south of the sheep gate, one of the gates that goes into Jerusalem. The pool of Siloam is not far from the pool of Bethsaida, or the pool with the five porticos, where Jesus had previously healed a lame man on the Sabbath. Now, why is all this important? Well, as I read the scriptures, I find that some passages highlight Jesus as my Saviour, and some passages focus on Jesus as my Lord, and how I relate to him in this life, and then there are some passages that do both. And I think this one falls into the last category. John 10:9, "I am the gate, whoever enters by me will be saved." Jesus is my Saviour. "And I will come in, and they will come in and go out and find pasture." He is the one whose voice I need to listen to as I follow him in this life. He is my Lord and my shepherd. And Jesus is saying, basically, "I will protect you and provide for you in this life and the next if you listen to my voice and follow my instructions." As in Psalm 23, "If we listen to the voice of our good shepherd, then we will come and go and find green pastures and still waters in this life, and we will also dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When we enter the sheepfold through Jesus, we enter an eternal safe place. Is Jesus promising to eliminate all evil in this life? I don't think so. But what did we just pray in the Lord's Prayer? "Lord, deliver us from evil." It's still here. It still exists. And what does he say in David say in Psalm 23? "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, evil times, I'm not afraid because God is with me. He walks with me through those dark valleys." God doesn't eliminate evil. He protects us and guards us from it. So as I read this passage, I think the emphasis is on protecting us from false shepherds. from false and self-centered leaders who use and abuse the flock for their own personal gain, as we see in the passage from Ezekiel. Jesus promises to build his church or shepherd his flock, even when it is under attack from bears and lions, outside things, or thieves and robbers, internal conflict, these thieves and robbers who are like wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, before we move on, let me tell you some more interesting things I found about those gates I mentioned, or the pools. It's probable that both the pool of Bethsaida and the pool of Siloam were once used in ceremonial cleansing. When the pilgrims came to Jerusalem, they would wash before entering the temple. There is also evidence that before animals were sacrificed at the temple, they were washed and brought into the city through the sheep gate. The sheep sacrifices, washed and brought in through the sheep gate. Interesting that Jesus was baptized, washed, and comes into the city. Anyway, that's another story. It is possible that John wants his readers, who would have known all these details, to remember the description he records of Jesus in his opening chapters. What does he say about Jesus there? Behold, the Lamb of God, whose sacrifice will take away the sin of the world. John knows his readers are smart and they can put one and one together and make two. We'll hear more about Jesus' claim to be the Good Shepherd next week, but we cannot fully understand this current claim of Jesus to be the gate without seeing that Jesus is claiming to be a shepherd who is functioning as the gate for the sheep. Jesus is therefore the gatekeeper for the flock, the church. Only Jesus can determine who are the genuine leaders for his people. When we listen to the voice of our Good Shepherd, he will not only provide for us and protect us physically, but he will guide us to the genuine shepherds for his flock and protect us from the false shepherds. But the key phrase is we must keep listening to his voice. Paul gives this warning to Timothy, and it still applies to us today. 2 Timothy 4 from verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Paul saying that to Timothy a long time ago, true for us now, but true since the beginning of time. Let me read it again and think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, truth from God, and having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. I wonder if the serpent will tell us that it's good fruit. And will turn away from listening to the truth that God said and wander away to myths that the devil is making up. There's nothing new under the sun. This is the same problem we all face and we always have. And I love the NIV translation, which says, people will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And we see that almost with, this is a bit of an aside, but social media apparently works that you get the news that you want to hear. Depending what area you're in and what things you've been looking at lately, they will direct to you the news that you want to hear, the way you want to hear it. So if you're a Trump supporter, you'll get that news. If you're not, you'll get the other news. Same with the abortion debate at the moment. Shouldn't have raised that, that's a big issue. But there we go. People will gather around them the information and listen to the podcast or whatever it is that will tell them what they want to hear. As we see it, and we see it, don't we, when the churches seem to concentrate on the message of, well, it could be the gift of speaking in tongues, it could be an over-focus on prosperity, some may have an unhealthy focus on good works while turning a deaf ear to the voice of Jesus in other ways. People will gather around them and go to a church that just says what they want to hear rather than listening to what God says in his whole word. As sheep, we are meant to follow our good shepherd. We are meant to follow the direction of his voice. So we are meant to follow the direction of his voice, not the other way around. We can no more dictate the plan of our shepherd than a pot can dictate the plan of the potter. From the beginning of the Bible, the problem has always been that people prefer to listen to their own hearts Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. They prefer to listen to the voice of their own hearts than to listen to the voice of their loving Father, or in our case, our Good Shepherd. Last week, we heard Jesus compare himself to those self-proclaimed guiding lights of God's people and say, "I am the light. Walk in my light, not theirs, and you will find eternal life." And this he said at the Festival of Lights in the temple. So here today we find another comparison with the Pharisees at another festival, where those listening are left in no doubt as to the contrast that is being made. Beware of the false shepherds who do not care about the sheep, and listen to my voice, says Jesus, as I show you who are the genuine guides of God's people. And he sets them up as his disciples and apostles, and to go out and teach the truth. This is one of those sermons where the preacher needs to pay more attention than the parishioners. Just as well I'm speaking, otherwise I might fall asleep. No, there's more. The preacher needs to pay more attention than the parishioners. There is a warning here for all who would be pastors of God's flock. Don't repeat the mistakes of previous leaders or shepherds. Don't repeat the mistakes of previous leaders or shepherds. Leaders of God's people are under shepherds of Jesus, the chief shepherd. This is what Peter says in his exhortation in 1 Peter 5. Now, as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, the leaders, to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. Sounds like he's read Ezekiel recently. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. Now, what that means for you as the sheep is, beware of those who want to lead you for their own benefit and not for yours. To know and understand what it means for Jesus to be the gate, we need to know and understand what it means for Jesus to be the good shepherd. The two go together and cannot be separated. Only a good shepherd can be a trustworthy gate for the sheep. Only a good shepherd has the benefit of his sheep in mind, which is the primary role of becoming a gate for the sheep. And just as Jesus is not simply a light for the world, or a bread of life, or a way to God, Jesus is not merely a gate for the sheep. He is the gate for his sheep. Jesus is the only one we can trust to have our best interests at heart. There are no other shepherds worth trusting, worth listening to, or worth following apart from him as the main and great shepherd and those who are under his authority. As we would expect, this matches perfectly with the other I am statements of Jesus, such as I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It also matches with the understanding of the apostles who wrote in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Jesus said in John 10:8, all those who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. Instead, we are to listen to the voice of Jesus, who comes to save us and give us life. When Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, God proclaimed from heaven, "This is my Son, listen to him." Are we listening to the voice of Jesus, our Good Shepherd? Our Good Shepherd not only laid down his body in the entrance of the sheepfold to become the gate that protects the flock, he also laid down his life on the cross to save the sheep that listen to his voice. Don't listen to the thieves and bandits who come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Listen to Jesus, who said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It's my prayer that we might all hear and listen and follow the voice of Jesus. Will you join me in that prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to be our good shepherd, who not only keeps us safe in this life, but saves us for eternal life with you. As we listen to his voice, may we continue to experience life in all its fullness, both now and forever. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
So, stand and sing, "Come, let us worship Christ."
Okay, take a seat. Another long sermon. I mean, some notices, that's right. Yeah. Same thing. Apparently it's David Humiston's birthday today. He's not here, but we wish him all the best. Mark is putting forward some rosters and he's looking for volunteers. He might want to talk to us about that. He'll come up in a moment. I'll just say that Parish Council has been moved from tomorrow night to the following Monday. So if you happen to know that and want to be praying for us, always appreciate your prayer for our guidance through God. And we've done the Julie spot, so that's all right. Do I have any other announcements?
I don't know.
You do.
I do. Just go to the next slide. I've been asked to remind everyone about this concert this afternoon. So two members of our congregation are in the concert. Paul is on his alto sax and Sharon will be playing the bassoon, not the flute. So that's on this afternoon at 2 p.m. 2:30 p.m. at the Greenwich Public School in Kings Langley Road. So not this one down near the shops, it's the other one. So it's at 2:30. Was it $10 or $5 for concession? As Eric mentioned, I'm preparing the roster for Term 3 in the coming weeks. And I just wanted to ask if there's anyone that's not on the roster that would like to be or would like to be on other rosters. The five main topics are leading, so this is what Celia is doing here, or Paul or and I do, or David. Reading the Bible verses, praying, as Robin did for us today, morning tea, and welcoming. Oh, there's one more. You could do a sermon if you really want.
Car roster? Transport roster?
We don't have that. We don't use that anymore because the people that are picked up are known and it's arranged.
Die.
You're on it. You're part. So if you would like to join a roster or do some more, just let me know after the service. Thanks.
And before we go out to morning tea, we'll ask God to bless us. And a special blessing for Julie as she travels. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Join us for morning tea.